Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. We have another great show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and all kinds of other, we'll say, allied or related issues dealing sometimes with science in general and physics. But I think the most important element of what we're doing is attempting to show unity, show how everything is connected together as one, because that helps to raise the consciousness of our listeners, and that's all of you out there who are hopefully listening. You're tuned in because you wouldn't hear my voice otherwise, right? Tonight we're going to deal with, as a subject matter, the concept of how the ray changes, ray energy changes, are affecting life in this world. And, of course, I'm going to explain this, so don't get confused and say, oh, boy, he's going to talk about something I don't know about. Now, I've already covered rays in other shows, but I will cover it again in this show from a different angle. I always like to say it in a new way, something that will maybe click in some people's minds that hasn't worked before. And I will also try to explain how these events are tied to things that are happening right now, even today, and will be continuing to do so into the future. So if you would like to, you can call in. You can call in at 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. And for those of you in Canada, 888-815-9756. Those calls don't cost you anything, so you can do it for free. Now, let me begin with this idea. I'm going to start with a postulate. Some people call it a postulate, okay? And that is that energy follows thought, particularly when the thought is greater than the collective thought of the energy itself. And for some of you, you might say, well, does energy really have thought? Yeah, collective thought of energy could even be what some people refer to as gravity with certain types of energy. Some types of energy actually have little itty-bitty-bitty-bitty amounts of a thought, but when you put a whole bunch of energy together, sometimes we call it form or mass, because mass is actually energy in a concentrated state, the result is that it has an effect, and the effect we call gravity. Now, for some of you might say, hey, that's pretty far out. Yeah, it is, and it's different than what physics says, but actually physics doesn't say much. If you ask the average physicist, or even the above average, or even the extremely unusual physicist, what is gravity, they go, don't know. That's right, they don't know. Okay, so if they don't know, I can always fill in the blank with anything, right? Except I'm not filling in the blank with just my own thought. These concepts actually go back in time, into a time even before recorded history. So it's been a long time in the minds of some great thinkers. I'm not necessarily putting myself into that category, but in the past, these great thinkers came up with the idea that some types of energy actually have a collective thought that we can call gravity. Now, looking at it from that standpoint, energy follows thought, generally greater than its own, and there are great beings far beyond those of human that have an effect on the energies of planets and even whole solar systems. But in general, we'll talk about just the planets right now. A planet like Earth has a number of, we'll call it, greater beings that direct certain types of energies towards our planet. There are seven general types of energies in each of the dimensions of time and space. There are seven dimensions of time and space, so if you multiplied it out, you can see that each dimension has seven, times seven would be 49 overall varieties or flavors of energy throughout the universe in terms of, we'll call it quality. But for our dimension of time and space, I know I'm going fast, I'm skipping over this pretty quick. For our dimension of time and space, this is called like the etheric physical or electromagnetic physical that we live in. There's actually seven types of energies. And those seven types of energies correspond to the senses that we have. And some of the senses we have are components in other species of life as well. Although no species of life has completed sense of two of the types of energies that we have as human beings. So the interesting thing is we are unique in that we have senses using all seven of the types of energies, with two of them being completely different from any other life form in terms of their completeness within us. Those are the first and second types of energies that are the primary source, we'll call it, of all other energies. And these energies actually are attached to the creator of our universe itself. And so when we use these two senses in us, we are able to sense our own creator, whereas other types of life can't directly sense that creator because they don't have completed senses of these first and second type of ray energies. The word ray means just that the thought of a greater being is controlling the energy, and then it becomes a ray energy. That's all that means. Thought is that some greater being is thinking about and focusing this energy, say, onto us and on Earth, and then it becomes a ray energy rather than just some type of cosmic type of form of energy. And so the amazing thing about this is that we are the first living creatures that can use all seven of these energies to create seven types of senses that are sensitive to the energies that give us an understanding of our environment around us. Give us an awareness first and then an understanding. And it allows us to be aware of and eventually an understanding of our own creator. Wow. That's great. Huh? I like that. That sounds neat. Now, I know I'm going fast, but for those of you who want more information about any one of these pieces of what I'm talking about dealing with rays, you can go to prior shows where I discussed parts of what I'm dealing with tonight, and you can kind of get a more in-depth understanding of a specific segment. Okay, so that's where the energies come from, and that's how they're manifested in living things. And at this time, four out of seven of the energies are emphasized at any particular time so that they grow faster in living creatures, whereas the other three become more quiescent, and they don't grow as quickly unless they are used in a more, we'll say, virtuous, meaning creative more of spirit within the form that they are contained. If they use virtuously and they use to create more spirit, which is the thought of our own creator in form, then in that particular case, our senses grow and they become more accurate. But if that isn't taking place, those senses diminish rather rapidly. Whereas the senses that are reinforced by the thought of beings who are focusing rays on the planet at the time, those are the four out of the seven, those can remain intact, even though we're being relatively selfish and not necessarily trying to find and think of the spiritual thought of our creator within form. You see how that works? Ah, you might say. So that's the idea. Yeah, it's to encourage more of the creator to be developed in any planet. It's a method. It's a method of, we'll call it, direction for a planet that encourages a planet to move faster towards recognizing and expressing its own creator, especially true in human beings. You might say, well, what about evolution? Isn't that sort of an autonomic kind of thing? It just goes on. Not exactly, no. No, because there's behind the scenes decisions made on the rays as they affect all living life. And it's just that it isn't within the creatures themselves, for the most part, that they are directing the show. So they become more or less non-creative. They become a expression of the forces they create through not functioning within the creator's thought, and the non-forces, or the, we'll call it, creations that are produced by just following the direction of the creator's thought. It's a very interesting process. It sort of assumes that those living creatures below human beings, especially, are not going to be able to see the creator well enough to be able to do it for themselves. So they have a group soul, and the group soul kind of is directed by the ray energies at the time, and there's some responsiveness in what we call instinct that is conveyed to the living creatures. But it doesn't exactly match. It doesn't always work out that it is the most spiritual, or we'll call it virtuous, way of existing. Everybody says nature is perfect, but it isn't really. What nature is forceful at times, and sometimes very beautiful, and works together in a system. Other times there are quirks that don't work so well. So it depends. And you can't just say for sure that because it's a, quote, a natural system, it's always going to be the best for the time that it exists within. It's usually a model that works pretty well until humans are on the scene and we really mess it up. And once we get involved, unfortunately or fortunately, evolutionary plans and natural systems that might have worked for millions, even billions of years on the planet, tend to fail because the humans involve themselves. Before long, you got smog and you got CO2 things going up and you got all kinds of other changes, and it just doesn't hold together anymore. And therefore, we have to be the ones that make the changes to improve the situation. Okay, so when we look at all of this and we see how it's sort of from the top down, especially from human top down, that life on a planet, once humans are, we'll say, in the driver's seat, and we have been since about 1975, pretty much in control about where this planet's going to go. We might say, well, what happened then? And we got virtual, we'll say, more than half control over the mineral world. That's chemistry and the ability to change the way a lot of the pre-life and lowest life of our planet functions. Once we got the ability to change a lot of that and affect it, it had the, we'll say, the maybe unwanted effect that we became responsible for the outcome, because in spiritual terms, those that have the control also have the responsibility, you see. And if it doesn't work out because we goof things up and we're very greedy and selfish, etc., the results can be our own destruction as well as the composite destruction of all lower life. Pretty terrible thing. Okay. So, the rays right now, and up till 2000, were in the following focus. In other words, these were the senses. I'm going to give you the senses that correspond to the rays, and I'll give you a little bit about how it affects us and the rest of the world. These were the senses that were being built upon and developed regardless of how selfish we were. If we weren't selfish, it really had a good effect on us, but the rays weren't therefore as important. But the senses that were being helped in us and those other animals and plants and minerals that respond to those rays were the following. We had the second ray, which is the ray that our heart chakra is sensitive to. This ray directly builds consciousness in us, the ability to see oneness between ourselves and others. It affects all living things, but to us it gives us not just a sense of other life, it gives us a sense of our creator. The other life on our planet doesn't get a sense of its creator. It gets a sense of life that is similar to itself, and sometimes life that is not necessarily similar to itself, but it needs in order to exist. And by the second ray being in focus, life expands very rapidly because it can find those things that it needs in order to survive itself in the living kingdoms. And it also responds to the ability to composite or build into itself those things that it needs more quickly, because it can see a oneness between itself and other things. So it's really, it helps it to, life itself to expand. The second ray is, in human terms, oftentimes associated with education and generally the ability for us to gain understanding, or sometimes many people call it love, because it's also the ability to give. you can't really give until you see that there's a oneness between you and something else. And so this oneness between yourself and something else causes you to desire to give because you identify with it. You have empathy for it. You see it as being a part of you and everything else. And that's where giving really is at the basis, stems from. And so the second ray has been in focus for a long time. As a matter of fact, compared to any other ray in this world, it has been in focus longer than any other. It really fosters the development of life in general. It's a good thing to have. And for human beings, since we've been around, it's helping us to understand our Creator. And for those human beings who it has developed fairly highly in, those human beings are the most conscious. And that's a very good thing to be. Excellent. Okay. The next ray that has been in focus, and this ray is particularly, in a sense, and of some concern, we'll say, been in the next longest in terms of focus while humans have been around, has been the third ray. Now, the third ray is a peculiar ray to some people because it's a ray that is part of the Creator's own mind in the way that it focuses its energies and tended to create our universe because it's a ray of interaction. It causes our universe to have not only thought as a component, but the interaction of thought through form. Very important. And it means that energy and form is part of our universe. It's why we call it a physical universe overall. And it doesn't mean that the form is all in physical form, as we're familiar with where we live, but in other dimensions of time and space, it may be in a form of higher energies. At any rate, this energy has been around for many hundreds of years, since the middle to the end of the 13th century. And this energy has developed and continues to develop in human beings, civilization. It builds the throat chakra. It gives us a sense of how to use the energy and form from other kingdoms, in human terms, how to bring them into our kingdom and extend our senses in ourselves and our forms in ourselves so we can build civilization. It allows us to make cars and houses and clothes. It allows us to do much more than that, to build great things, complicated things. This is all part of what the third ray does. The third ray also allows us to become interactive. Some of those interactions includes economies and finances. Some of it involves military and fighting and forces. Some of it involves communications, such as radio, as I'm talking on right now, and the internet and the cell phones, and you go on, and telephones, of course. Everything that we consider some form of communication on an advanced scale, particularly, is the third ray. But just speech itself is considered a third ray since it's part of that throat chakra. And so it allows us to develop language in the very beginning. And that language then becomes extended by all the different parts of civilization to these intricate and very, we'll say, advanced ways of us communicating together. It's a great thing. It also has, unfortunately, the negative side that sometimes comes out because it builds civilization, sometimes very rapidly, especially when it's in focus, in ways that may allow us to become destructive to each other. Like I said, military things can become probably overdeveloped. And military solutions, violent actions among ourselves and between ourselves, especially by countries or larger parts of society can become overly developed and sometimes wrongly used. But these are nonetheless the ways that the third ray becomes part of us and the way that it affects us, especially when it's in focus. Remember, in focus means that it develops regardless of whether we're virtuous or not. If it's out of focus, it mostly or almost always will develop strictly because we are virtuous. If we're selfish, the rays that are not in focus tend to languish and not develop the way the rays that are in focus, you see. So it's really up to us how we live if these rays are going to affect us one way or another. Okay, and the final Well, yes, it is the final. The final ray that is in focus right now and has not been in focus as long as the other ones is the fifth ray. Did I say final? I think I'm skipping a ray here. Oh, well, I'll get to it. Doesn't matter. The fifth ray, because I left out the seventh, and I'll get to that. The fifth ray, and the fifth ray has been in focus for a fairly long time because we're overall part of what is called the fifth race of humans. And so we need a lot of this fifth ray at this time to develop our mental functionings. The fifth ray deals with the Ajna Center and the development of knowledge that is connected to what we'll call truth, the ability to determine the effectiveness of the knowledge by testing it over time in comparison to the past and how it may come out in the future. This is what truth does for us. Very important. We as a civilization rely very heavily on the fifth ray to develop some of the more advanced elements of the third ray. So we build things and then we refine them and move them into a greater level of development. Let me give you an example of that. We started off developing a telephone about 125 years ago, somewhere in that ballpark. And when it was first developed, it was rudimentary and difficult to use. And it was pretty much, not very useful unless you were right around where telephone lines were, et cetera. It's by the time we reached this century now, we have reached the point where telephones have become almost an extension of our very thinking process, because we can now just literally flip open a cell phone and, in most cases, talk to whoever we wish to talk to. There's been a great advance in that, and that's because we're using the technology of the third ray and the thought process of being able to communicate and develop a higher level of communication, more instant level of communication, with more people than we ever have before. It's synthesizing into a greater level of, we'll say, almost instant communication, regardless of where people may be. It frees us in time and space to be almost anywhere and be able to communicate with almost anybody else anywhere. That's a big deal. That's a huge jump from the way things were even 50 years ago, even 30 years ago. So you can see how that has gathered strength. The fifth ray also develops science. Science is an attempt to use mental processing to determine the validity or truth of any concept or a pair of concepts in comparison to find out whether or not our thinking is accurate, not just for the moment and for one circumstance, but for a large series of circumstances that can be formulated or conceptualized. That includes the past, present, and future, all parts of time. It's a great, great use of what it means to be human, because humans, unlike any other kind of lower life form, have developed the mental part of ourselves way beyond. And so we can use this great ability. Some animals that are advanced have a little bit of the functioning, but they don't have enough to really challenge concepts the way we as humans do. So that, again, makes us quite different from even the most advanced. Even our favorite animals, our pets, have a great deal of difference between their ability to determine truth in comparison to human beings. All right, so this is the third type of ray for focus, and I skipped over it. I didn't really skip it over, but I want to mention the seventh ray, which has only been in focus for a little over a century. And the seventh ray deals with the sexual center. Now, this may confuse some people. The sexual center really gives us the ability to hear how others are really expressing themselves, to understand in the hearing process how we can change or synthesize ourselves and others into a greater, level of not just consciousness, but a greater level of improved interaction so that our movements are less wasteful. We're not using our efforts with waste and with low economic gain. It is the principle under which many businesses work. But besides that, it also involves itself in almost all the ways that we use energy on a individual level, and how much we waste our own energies and those of others through our own selfishness. It also deals with procreation and the ability for us to get together with another to create more of our species, even if we do it through artificial insemination, which is kind of a very distant way. But nonetheless, it allows us all of these factors, and it includes, as I said, sexual energy exchange, besides also the question of hearing itself. Now, you might say, okay, well, what does that exactly mean in terms of how we function on a daily basis? And it means that if we are virtuous, we don't need the ray focus, but since the ray is in focus right now, it's helping us to become more able to synthesize energy so that we use them in an economical way rather than a wasteful way. And at this particular time, it's crucial that we do this because we have been wasting a lot of our energies, and the process can become very destructive to the world and to ourselves if we continue to do so. Okay, so those are the rays that are in focus. But what are the rays that are out of focus? And those are, and then I'm going to go to break, those are the fourth ray, which is actually starting to come back in. Well, I'll tell you more about that when we come back from break. The sixth ray, which has been out really for, we'll say, a considerable amount of time. And a very special one, the first ray, which only comes in very infrequently and can be quite destructive. Luckily, it isn't in focus right now. But we'll talk about all of these things when we come back from break. And I think it's important to realize that I'm going to then go into our problems today, how things could change as a result of the way the rays affect us and how we respond to them. And then we can maybe tie it all together about what's going to happen in the next few years. Because I would like to explain what I think we're going to be facing in terms of world problems and crises, as well as things that we can take advantage of to improve the world. Okay, so we will be back in about 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
We are back, and this is Why Life Is. I am your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we are talking about how rays, or ray energies, have an effect on us and the world in general, and what this is going to do to the world now and in the future. I'm going to kind of really jump subjects almost, because I talked about what rays were and how they affect us, and now I'm going to jump into some current events and some things that I'm quite concerned about, so that people can connect what I said in the first part with hopefully things that are going on around us. The fourth ray is coming back into focus since it's been out. And it's been out for a number of years, since 1675 or so. It's been out of focus, meaning that it hasn't been helping the part of us called the sacral center, which gives us inner reflection and the ability to smell to some extent. But it's more importantly, it gives us a sense of how it is that those around us and ourselves are interacting on a non-direct verbal level. How is it that we are functioning within our levels of consciousness between each other? And this is a very important element that is the mark of a person who's becoming more character developed, more virtuous, more empathic. All those things really need the fourth ray and the sacral center to be developed in a human being. Now, this is starting to refocus, and it will really be noticeable after the year 2012. So from about 2013 on, we'll see it develop more and more and become a dominant part of people. Right now, the third ray is starting to, has been going out of focus. It takes about 25 years, give or take. And it started going out of focus around the beginning of spring of the year 2000. And it'll reach the midpoint around the fall of 2012. So after that midpoint, we got this shift that it will be more apparent than it is today. But unfortunately, when a ray such as the third ray, which is very prominent and dominant in our world because it controls civilization itself, and humans have become controlling a civilization on a very high level since about 1975, but we have controlled, you know, many elements of it for thousands of years, and unfortunately to our detriment sometimes. Now, what's going on is there's a battle. You could say it's a battle. And the battle is between the inner reflection of righteousness, good character, good deeds, good thought, versus greed, forcefulness, authoritarianism, and the desire to control others for the detriment of them oftentimes and the benefit of the few or one. And that is really a problem because the third ray wasn't doing this as much in a lot of people until recently. Now, it was doing it for some people for sure, and a lot of people, you know, in a lot of ways who are dark and have been selfish throughout time. But now it's becoming a more generalized state, in which people that would normally communicate for the benefit of others are communicating only for the benefit of themselves. One of the ways people do this is through something called email. What is email? Email is a monologue that a person is usually sending to another individual, unless there's an instant state where they're communicating, which sometimes is done, but most of the time it isn't. Email is a way to dominate the thought and conversation, and sometimes the arguments that exist between two or more people, And it allows us to not directly communicate with someone. It allows us to avoid the give and take of normal communication and the ability to learn from others in real time, which is required if you're going to get very far. Yes, you can learn something from someone's email, but most of the time you learn very little because there is a time delay. And that time delay allows the other person's mind and your mind not to be in sync. The synchronicity of mind is what allows us to grow from each other. The avoidance of synchronicity destroys that. And in a strange way, regular snail mail, letters as an example, actually doesn't do as much damage as email. Because email instantaneously goes to the other person, but then it doesn't get immediately responded to in most circumstances. Whereas the long time that letters take, in a very strange way, allows others to contemplate and think using more of their sacral center to temper their responses and to use a longer period of time in which to respond. And it's a kind of strange system because when you slow email down effectively, when you slow it down to like letters, it benefits. But when it's instantaneously communicated, it actually detracts from its ability to communicate. This is one of the smallest of the areas that we have a problem in. Our biggest area is, in general, our inability to care about what other people are understanding from our communication. In other words, we communicate, but we communicate without concern about whether others really understand what we're saying. And if that goes on very long, you have a breakdown in communication. And so that is what's taking place more and more because the throat centers of people are becoming unable to become growth areas. Instead, they're becoming more stationary, and some people will use the word crystallized in their approach. Crystallization is like it just stays the way it's always been, and it won't change much. It doesn't grow much, and it doesn't change because of unsuccess. So people may send a million emails and not recognize that others are basically not understanding what the heck they're saying. But they keep sending the emails. And so that's a problem because that shows crystallization. Also, one sign of it is when you ask somebody to explain something to you and they keep repeating the same thing over and over again. That's almost definitely a sign of crystallization in the throat chakra, because they're not responding any longer to a growth in or a change in the way that they communicate. They're just going to keep saying the same thing over again. When someone does that, that is a sign they have a serious problem in their communication, in their throat chakra. They have some dark energy there. They have some crystallization there. And it's not going to improve because at the present time, the focus of this ray won't break through it anymore because it's weakening every day. So people are going to remain more and more incalcitrate about that situation and unable to change it. And the results can be devastating because you find people just repeating themselves without actually trying to communicate. That's not a good thing. Two people like saying the same thing back and forth but not really trying to get the other person to understand what it is they're saying. All right. This is very bad when you get it to the level of national situations. And let's talk about today, because I think today is an interesting day. Today we had the former Soviet Union, Russia, invading Georgia, a province in Georgia, and declaring that because a few of their quote-unquote observers on the ground were either injured or killed in some embattlement between some people in the province who didn't want to any longer be part of Georgia, they were taking over either part of, we don't know for sure, or all of Georgia, and they were invading them. Now, you might say, well, that sounds like an overreaction, to say the least, and isn't it true that this country we call Russia is becoming more and more like the old Soviet Union? Because the people that are running it are actually authoritarian dictators who have taken over the country with a votes to some extent of the people, though the last election was most likely rigged. And aren't they just despots who are running things? And the answer is absolutely true. There's no question about that. But as an underside to the situation, you can also say that the Third Reich is encouraging excessive militarism. It's encouraging the lack of communication and the lack of desire to communicate and to find solutions through communication. And so more military actions are likely to take place. Now, if you look at the real circumstances here, there's no question that at least some of the people who live in this one province, this northernmost province in Georgia, that it's literally borders on part of the Soviet Union, some of them would rather live in the Soviet Union. Well, I think the obvious answer is for them to move. There's nobody preventing them from moving into the Soviet Union if they wanted to. But they can't take the land with them because that is owned by Georgia. We had the same kind of question in the United States, if you might recall, during the Civil War. And we decided that the people who lived in some southern states in the United States had a right, if they chose to leave the land and leave the country and go live someplace else, but they didn't have the right to secede from the union that we had created. Georgia's kind of saying the same thing. Now, they could have communicated better with these people and maybe worked out some kind of arrangement where maybe they had closer bonds with Mother Russia or something. But regardless of that, there is no excuse for a country to invade another country to take it over, even if it's only a province or two, or if it's the whole country. We don't know yet how this thing's going to turn out. And another problem exists here in that our unwillingness to back up, at least at this point, as of today, this small country, when we basically nuclear disarmed it as soon as it became an individual country, telling them we would protect them, and now we're kind of like deserting them, and if they get taken over by Russia again, basically we have broken our promise with them. You see, this is a problem that has to do with communication. It also has to do with character. And in this case, it's the character of countries. And it deals with how countries are interacting together in ways that are really greedy, selfish, and authoritarian, and not trying to, in a way, we could say, develop better civilizations, but rather to be destructive. Certainly a military action that already has killed about 150 of the Georgians and will kill probably thousands by the end of this weekend, are just an incredible response, a terrible response to a situation that begs some other type of action. And unfortunately, Putin, who is the quote-unquote despot, who's running the country, even though he's not the president anymore, he actually wants this because he wants to take over this country. He wants to go back to being the Soviet Union. He said that it was the greatest mistake the Soviet Union ever did was to break up and become Russia, and he wants to go back. And this is his own statements. So we have to take him at his word, and that's unfortunate because what it shows is, again, this terrible reduction in consciousness and, we'll say, the level of military force replacing any kind of other solution to a circumstance. Now, should we use military force? Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I think that there's lots of things that we could do, the United States could do, to prevent this whole thing from going any further, but I don't know that we will choose to do it. It would certainly make sense for us to get together with the people that are our allies and discuss it and come up with a potential solution. I think it is important to realize that the Third Reich going out of focus is the greatest crisis this planet has seen since 525 AD. And if you don't know what happened then, that was the last time the Third Reich went out of focus, and the Sixth Reich came in instead of the Fourth, and the results were devastating. In the western parts of Europe, they went into the Dark Ages. And even the Byzantine Empire, which was the remainder of what was left of the Eastern Roman Empire, they just kind of curled up and went to sleep almost, and they stopped dealing with the rest of the world. A lot of bad things happened from that point forward for hundreds of years. But the first 100 years were devastating, and as much as a third to a half of the world population disappeared of humans. And today, the same effect would be true of all of the lower kingdoms at the same time. So today we have a worse possibility because we're in control of those lower kingdoms, which we weren't then. So instead of just killing off human beings, today we'll kill off half of the planet. Now, is that a bad idea? Yeah, I think it is. We would take not just 300 or 400 or 500 years to recover, but possibly we could take a millennium. That could be a serious outcome. Now, I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen. I'm just telling you that the results could be very serious. Now, what about the difference between the sixth ray coming back in as it was in, say, 545, 550 AD, and today, in which it's the fourth ray coming back in? The fourth ray will make us more reflective. The sixth ray made us more, we'll say, focused on religious ideas and on attempting to become closely connected with those that we are directly knowledgeable about, like such as family and small villages. In this case, it'll become more concerned about whether or not we're showing a spiritual side to our life is balanced to the physical. I think it has a greater significance, and it may temper the third ray going out rather than the sixth ray coming in as it was before when the third ray was going out. The only problem in this is that if the third ray is so devastating in the next 5 or 10 years and going out, the damage done to our civilization may be so great that it would take at least 100 or 200 years to recover. That's what I'm concerned about. I don't know about the millennium and all that business, 1,000 years away, but I think we could have 100 years of really serious messed up things. And I don't know that the fourth ray can correct all that, because I don't know how many people will actually be inter-responsive quickly enough to the problems. It's going to require some incredible suffering and maybe some incredible resolutions in those who are able to make it through it, to change the world to a more spiritual place, because that is the bottom line right now. If we don't become more spiritual and therefore more conscious, we will suffer potentially 100, 200 or more years of really disastrous results, possibly civilization being almost obliterated and other terrible things occurring. We are facing many kinds of crises. One of them I've talked about for several years now, at least two, and that is the possibility of a pandemic flu. Now, the only good news in that there is global warming is that it slows down the possibility of a pandemic flu. I've talked about this several times, but, I mean, it sort of offsets one problem, but it leads to a much greater one in the future. I don't know which is worse, but it is a fact that it may delay a pandemic flu by as much as years or even a decade, but it's not a good solution because the flu is very sensitive to heat. And even a 1 degree rise Fahrenheit in temperature can reduce the likelihood of a pandemic flu by 50%. So it's an important factor to consider. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have a pandemic flu. As a matter of fact, starting from right now, from this fall on, the chances are still fairly high that one can develop and become quite serious. So it is still something that's out there and could get us. What other things are we facing, though, that we can try to curve besides just warming up the planet to get rid of pandemic flus? Well, I think one of the things we need to do is to develop a better world character, and especially a national character within the United States, where we obey what we say we're going to do, And like in the case of Georgia or any other country, we back up what we've told them with actual actions that inform, represent the spiritual thought that we had in creating our alliances. You see, the two have to go hand in hand. You can't just say you're going to do something and then ignore the ramifications when the consequences start to piling up. And the United States has a habit of doing this. So do many other countries. Some countries actually are very principled and have kept their word almost always. But the United States conveniently changes its mind on a drop of a hat or a pin. And anything that we do sometimes is dependent almost entirely on whether or not it's expedient for us rather than for others. A lot of times this has to do with part of a ray called the first ray, which is the ray that develops the concept of freedom. We need this ray sometimes focused to remind us that we are here to be not only free ourselves, but to ensure the freedom of all others, because if we don't, we will never be free. You can't be free while others are imprisoned. You can't say we have a free economy and we're doing exceptionally well while the people that are making the things for our economy are in camps in China and other places making the things that we buy. And they are imprisoned in those camps. And they are imprisoned there because they were trying to be free in many cases. If you think about that, that the irony of it is kind of amazing. We need to help the freedom of all. And we need to be paying attention to that in these relatively upsetting and dark times that we're facing. There's a lot more to talk about this subject. Whether I'll deal with that next week or not, I'm not sure. But there's so much more to explain about the future and what we need to do about that. However, I'm out of time. Oh, yes. Okay, so I want to mention that, let me see, on August 18th, Mimi, a member of the spiritual group I'm a member of, is going to be talking about souls over at Mesa Fiesta Borders. And you please attend if you can from 7 p.m. to 8:15. Also, this Sunday, I'm going to be on talking about how to increase consciousness. This is both an individual and, we'll say, even on a group and even beyond that level. And if you are in the eastern part of the U.S., particularly around Boston, Norfolk, Providence, Rhode Island, etc., listen in on 1170 AM. And if you're not there, or if you would prefer, listen to WDISAM.com. I'll be on from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're not in that time zone, then figure it out for where you are and tune in, because I would love for you to have a chance to listen in and hear me talk about that. Now, for tonight, let me just sum up very quickly. I've got about a minute here. And that is that the real critical element of understanding how rays are affecting us is to realize that it stimulates in us, when we're not so good, when we're kind of selfish, a growth in our senses still, so that we at least continue to develop. But when it's not in focus, the only development we have in how we sense and how we are aware, which helps us to then become more conscious, is if we are virtuous in our senses. So we have a contest going on in this. Four of our senses are, at a time, are being helped, whether we're selfish or not, and three are not. But at this particular time, one of the four is switching with one of the three. So it kind of nullifies those two, and it weakens our overall awareness and leads us into making grander mistakes that, unfortunately, can be very destructive to ourselves and to others. This is a process that we have to become aware of very quickly if we're going to do something about it, becoming more reflective inwardly and to using that reflection to develop our character and the world around us is an important way to overcome some of the problems caused by the focuses of rays at this time. We are out of time for right now, so I'd like you to think about and consider these thoughts. Hopefully you'll, in the near future, develop for yourself a way of improving your awareness and overcoming the problems around you and helping others to do the same. Because I think it's important we all, by being aware of these ray changes, can actually change elements of our lives so that others are brought into and affected as well. Okay, so until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.